Thank you very much, Bahman Kalabari, for inviting us to come here to this beautiful place. We all are from Austria, from Vienna, and we all come from the University of Applied Arts. We're coming there from the Department of Art and Design Education. I work there in the fields of design research as assistant professor of Professor James Cone. And to tell you a little bit about how we work, there is, for example, in former times, we had, the students had at the beginning of the semester, we had a briefing, and then had a small design research time. They had like 1, 2, 3 ideas. And then they had to give in the prototype of the project at the end of the semester. Through science research, we know nowadays that the design research time is the most important part and the most innovative ideas emerging these times. And so we changed, and actually it's an international trend, so we have like one semester design research in a whole, and the students finish up with trying again, throwing some ideas away, getting new idea, start again. And some of you know that. And so this is the way we work now. And I want to introduce you the students, Petra Elias.
Hello. Thanks to Bachmann for inviting me. Last year I finished my studies in mathematics and Spanish for teaching, but I'm not an expert mathematician, so please don't ask me any questions about Gaussian negative curves or something. But so my profession is teaching and transfer. And since 3 years, I've been studying at the University of Applied Arts at the Department of Design Education as well. Yes, so that's it.
Thank you very much, Petra, and now Walter also.
Yes, I'm also at the University of Applied Arts for education, art education, also for textile design. And before that, I studied fashion design and became a hatter or milliner. And actually, I'm working as a fashion designer in fashion business. And the reason why I studied art education was that I wanted to get better skills in selling things. So because that's an educational process. Sometimes when we explain a piece of work, which art it, with what fashion is, to clients. It's only 1 year ago I had my first contact with Higher Math, because there was a project at university called Math Goes Design, and James, our professor, asked me, well, Walter, why don't you want to accompany us? And I said, no, I was so bad in school in math, leave me alone with that. But I finally designed in the workshop, and it was pretty interesting for me because the discussion with the students from the Technical University who studied art, math, was so interesting and widened my horizon in creativity way of thinking so much that I'm pretty glad about having the possibility to go on working now with that, with the program of Bachmann Kalidari. And the whole work was pretty interesting for me. So I'm not a mathematician, so ask someone else.
I'm an artist and scientist. I work on the interface between art and science, actually. And the aim of our research here was to find out the inspiring aspects of polynomiography in our art and design work. And our central question was if and how polynomiography stimulates our creativity and where it would lead us. So now we would like to show you our journey of discovery in these creative projects, and wanted to ask you, shall we?
Polynomial is a very basic figure in maths. So you just
a what?
A polynomial. You know, those are the x and z's.
Yeah, these curves, you do, okay.
Yes, that thing. So for example, if you have polynomial partial,
I like the
and Derek, you know, does points of convergence where all the lines come together.
Yes.
So probably these might be some of the solutions you're mentioning, because all the paths come to one or the other solution.
Yes.
Okay.
And look here, in fact, it's possible. If you just use the iteration
pattern. The cable for this afternoon.
Well, that one is pretty cool, may I say?
Yes.
So it reminds me a little bit of these same Yaku, yeah, because it's pleated things. So that's pretty nice. Going to be a good inspiration for fashion design.
Yes, please.
Or kind of animals that are not. Yeah, this could be probably for the ears. Kind of just a box or whatever. With crawling around. It's like a bird over here. There's tails. I like these pictures because they're evoking so much.
Yes,
and another thing that you were talking about that the program tried to find solutions. And when I'm thinking about how I think, I have those solutions in my head in the form of points of convergence where all my thoughts come in, because as a designer, whatever I see comes to, oh, what could it be for me? Could it be a dress? Could it be kind of an animal or something like that? And the other solution is that I think, how could I use that probably in school or how to teach someone, or if I could use it for a piece of art, like or architecture or something. So these are the solutions in my head. Whatever I see, wherever I go, I come to these points of convergence in my brain, because these are the things I'm always thinking about.
Yes. But as I said, walking around in the city, I like to think when I walk in the city, I always see something, and that what I see reminds me of something, and so I make connections, so it's the same thing, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
You see something, you make a link to it, and then your mind...
Because what you're used to thinking about.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So, what I'm thinking about is what kind of numbers could be put in the formulas to create pictures.
Everything.
Yeah, but you have to choose that in a way. You know, like just you can put any number in there. Yeah. But how to choose? Because there are several numbers you can do. What could be state?
Well, actually, we could try to make some polynomialities out of our own life, maybe. So.
So that's going to be kind of like just a little bit like astrology, reading in a picture. So that was...
Yes, that's actually my personal...
So you put some of the numbers of your life in it, and you can generate this picture.
Yes, that's the way.
So you were a kind of a butterfly, or...
Maybe.
You seem to be quite psychedelic.
Well, all the pictures look like
okay.
So that's the
formula behind
actually,
it.
Yes.
You're quite some psych person.
Well, let's see what I think the yellowish picture is next.
Yeah, it might as well.
Huh.
No, it's good.
Oh, no, that's true. You're kind of more complex person. It's
cool. Of course, you're older than me.
My age, for sure. I think, for example, I would try it, for example, when I try the different colors, it reminds me, for example, if you use it here, let's think about, we have shampoo. Okay, this is my polio, no, neoper.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so if I look at shampoo, actually we try to bring some maps also, because there are some people we also love to run around, I heard about in the morning. And so we have a plan there we can pass on afterwards, where you can find, for example, special designs you can take, decoration design maybe, to run around in the garden at home. That would be
So what you did is to combine the way Baroque gardens are built with what you saw in polynomiography. You saw kind of hedges and how flowers are planted in the Baroque gardens.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's very interesting because, well, it is a concrete garden.
A concrete garden?
Yes.
And it's a garden without flowers.
No, not in the artistic way of understanding. But for example, if you imagine, actually, it was made to imagine the possibility of infiniteness, yes, of infinity, yeah, of the garden. The patterns are very similar, like in polynomiography. So the patterns of the Baroque garden are very similar. Than,
oh, how they are built.
Yes,
design.
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that reminds me of how what Daniel said, no, before, like the garden and the city constructions, the fractal patterns that are in most of our architecture.
Yes.
Okay.
So. I also think what we actually did was we came from Vienna, didn't we? I found a map of how the planes go. Look here. So you, we went from Vienna to New York. So actually, we did an iteration, I think, don't you? What do you think?
Just one iteration, isn't
yes,
it?
Just one. I can't help it. Can you help
but
me?
But if you have to go with me.
Oh, sorry. Not as perfect as Roman does, but
so if you go back to the same iteration and backwards.
You could, yes.
Yeah.
You could. Actually, you could.
Well, I'm just thinking about folding the paper plane. You have no sense of not a
yes,
paper,
sure.
But like when you fold, when you fold something, you have the pleats in the paper. Probably they could be compared with the way the iteration lines are in on the pictures, like that one. So could this be instruction of fold things in a way, like for the dress?
Maybe we can think about a different way of of landscapes. I mean, you know,
not real landscapes, but landscapes that are existing in our mind.
Yes, that are existing in our mind. But, you know, I like very much to work sometimes when I get in a stuck state of mind. I like to use the cards of IDEO. You might know IDEO. It's a group of designers, and they designed cards which might help you to think different. So, for example, conceptual landscape. They ask you to do something, and it will bring you somewhere else in your.
So they give you ideas.
They give you ideas.
How to think.
They give you ideas how to think, and they also use this map. So I think it's about thinking about further. It opens up your mind of your associations actually, and how you love to see things.
Mm-hmm. Actually, when you got stuck, there's a technique in mathematics as well. I remember. That it cuts the plane and just stick it back together. You can use it in function and analyze.
You stuck the plane?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you got stuck. Haven't you...
what does it need to...
Oh, okay. I tried to divide it into several pieces. Actually, it's all one polynomial.
So that one polynomial review of the Calamari you cut.
Yes, exactly. I try to get new impulses to find new solutions.
Mm-hmm. So you follow on the process.
Mm-hmm. It looks a little bit like you use those lenses when you're in the scene world. Like you cut the lenses with that one. Like cutting things and getting a new view to the things you see. So that might help us to get into that one of those conceptual landscapes in another kind of world, not too stuck in the real world, like in city maps and gardens. Yeah.
To give this weird imagine, people have glasses and you would see everything cut like polynomiography, you know? I mean, we could let it reduce as Swarovski in Vienna, they would for sure do it. And we could try to look it all over and see all the differences.
So we probably should invent kind of a polynomiographical lens in front of our eyes. That's my sketch for the whole thing, because I tried to find like in butterflies. I thought by seeing those pictures, I thought, well, these are polynomials. It might be quite kind of difficult to get the formula behind it, but they are symmetrical. And I even got the real one with me, because it was in one of our cottages.
Oh.
Yeah, it's destroyed because of the flies. But it is symmetrical as well, the other half's there.
What do you say? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I was talking about, like, if you put a lens, a polynomiographical lens in front of our eyes, so we could explore new worlds. That's what it should be for our work, to gain something new, not just stuck in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you once talk about an artist? Yeah, it's simply about making discoveries. It's like making a lot of voyage to make troubles and think about. I brought a book here from what's very interesting. It's Maria Sofia Meria. And she was so interested also in butterflies and caterpillars, and actually was afraid because she was living 1647 to 1717, and she was like, at that time, collecting caterpillars at home. And it was really strange, a woman was collecting caterpillars at home, and actually all went back home like worms for the people. And she started to draw them, and actually she was an artist and a scientist also, and she did a lot of artwork, and she was, she went to Suriname. Here again, these lines, I think it's interesting, and she also tried to find out what kind of caterpillars and insects live in Suriname. And she went there alone, she even took her daughter. Yes.
Now the window changed.
was a woman who explored the world on her own.
Yes.
And
she made
and she collected caterpillars.
Yes, and she made a lot of drawings, and she wanted to know what they eat and how they come out from it. I think it's a very scientific way.
Yeah, and she was kind of a strange person, that she was one of those women who tried to explore the world on her own, although it was forbidden more or less for women because they had to cook and so on.
But actually, the interesting thing was that she was very fascinated with flowers, and she would like, there was the time the tulips were very, very, very special.
Yeah.
And she would like rob a tulip, and she was 6 years old, she would rob a tulip from her neighbor,
oh,
and she would draw it, this is a video, doesn't matter.
But then you might know of the polynomiography as well, with the dots inside and the symmetrical way they are built. Or even there are always parts in the polynomiography which are not really defined when thinking about those parts. Those parts where we do not know what it is. So that reminds you of those kitschy things you always put in wedding days. But come back to the caterpillars. She found out that out of the caterpillars those butterflies she got an idea about the metamorphosis.
Yes, exactly. You told me that you are so much interested also in
yes, caterpillars. Yes, it's not by chance that I have a butterfly with me because I was collecting it when I was a little child because I was so fascinated by the metamorphosis. And that's a symbol for creative working for me, because in my brain, I'm so fascinated by that my brain is able to see something and to translate it into something completely else. And that's a kind of metamorphosis for myself, for me. So when we see these pictures, the human brain is able to see something completely different or something completely new, like having those lenses in front of our eyes. That's something that's really interesting for me. And it's a main inspiration for my work to always think that creativity has the capacity to change things and to have a new look on something.
And how do you go on, for example, if you use this as a possibility to use your creativity, well, how would you go on then? If you draw, would you...
Yeah, I try to... What I like about these books, because I have collected them myself, when people still were drawing themselves, because I think in drawing, the great advantage of drawing is that you need to have a very close look to the things you want to draw, so you really get inside the flowers. So because what Marian did well by drawing this, or even in this real ancient books, I got one from my grandma's lexicon. It's from 1910. I was so amazed about these drawings as they are in the Marian book as well. And there was one as a child and nowadays I like to draw a lot because to have this close look into the things and to the better I know how they look like, the more I'm able to change and to work with those things I see and to translate them. So when I saw the pictures and I saw like faces or flowers in it, I tried to make flowers and to not two-dimensional flowers or animals, but to make them three-dimensional. If the camera still doesn't work, it's probably because we might not see the things. But anyway. So what I did, let me pass through some of this. So first of all, as the landscapes, as the group did like gardens and so on, and I tried to get a picture of how landscapes might look like, where animals or plants might grow, like polynomial landscapes. And I tried to invent after those pictures animals and to draw them in a way like Marian did.
But your association was polynomial.
Yeah, I saw them in those pictures. Like that's not on the picture. So like so I try to direction this the folio of my so I saw kind of a bug in here and try to imagine how it would look like on the other side and how it would look like if I saw it from that direction. So I tried to turn it around to make it three-dimensional. Or even plants.
It's interesting because we found out that usually artists and their biographies or the designers especially, we don't know yet how they use their inspirations from their childhood and how it determines their
work. Yeah, that was what I was telling you, like butterflies, and I worked with florists during summer sometimes, so I'm very close to that, and I did watercolor paintings a lot, so that's how I earned my money when I was a younger teenager. Probably talking about the name we could give our work. It's like
Luke was talking about it in one of our lectures. Yes, it was you realize, that means you realize what you inhabit, what lives including you.
So you can, the quotation means that you only can see what you have already seen.
Yes, kind of, or what you know.
But that would mean that you can then not really change things.
Yeah, you can, because you can make innovative things out of it. You can take parts of it, and you can create new things.
Okay, but
it just depends on your imagination of what you. I think it's important that you get back and try to find out. Doodling. You try to draw something what you're interested in, and then you find out some pattern which reminds you to a different solution.
So what you're talking about is that I cannot come over the problem that I that I cannot come over to see when I watch one of the polynomiographies that I always see I'm used to thinking in animals, plants when I'm thinking about the world. So I cannot come over it. That's right, because when I was trying to draw these things, I realized that I always think when I'm talking about or thinking about animals, I want to think about eyes and flies and feet and so on. Or when I'm talking about plants, I'm thinking about blossoms and leaves and that they need something like that because I'm used to think that's what the quotation from chemical literature is. Alright?
Exactly. Okay. But I mean, he might have also meant it in a different way, but I like the saying because it says quite a lot about possibility.
So there are some other ones. Like this orchid, and I tried to invent polynomial graphs for chickens. Or you did the same, so you design and like, how is that flower called in English?
Iris.
An iris, okay, that's it. So you're you're designing, we're designing one of those water lilies.
Yes.
There's one. Oh yeah, even fruit, because thinking of the world according to my graphical world, I think about like fruit like an onion, but a very special for your code to be a graphical onion.
No, but they look like, maybe for many of you, they look like comics, no? And that's the thing, because I like comics, I'm into comics.
So you're used to seeing into these pictures comics?
Yes.
Yes, but and can you show, for example, how you have your idea of one of them?
Yes, for example, if I see this here. Here.
Hang on one second, I'll have to film it.
Okay.
It is a little bit like the father of us, I don't know the English word of it, or
the comic,
in Europe.
Yes. Can you turn the camera around? What to do? Put it on. Here, look, here they are. Here?
Yeah.
So here is one. And this here, those two fellows here. Those?
Yes,
those two
ones
here. Come on,
yes.
Are you here?
Yeah.
They are there.
Here.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, when you go around with black, with your black pen, they remind me, they get more comic.
Yes.
Comic style, because comic figures are always,
yes,
with a black line around them.
And you can also give them a name, you know? For example, the name of these two could be the name of the polynomial, which is actually set plus 3, okay, all right, then.
Yeah.
So it's set plus 3 times set plus 8 times set plus 16.
But it's going to be quite a long name.
16, yes. But, well, 5 times set plus 3 times set plus 2.
That's really not going to be
plus 44. So you could make it a little bit more beautiful, the formula, but you know it's...
Do you think any child might remember that name of the figure?
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because you can just put in the formula in the program of Sacro Canossale.
Yeah.
And then they will see the animals. And if they use their fantasy, then they can kind of get these things. And they are used to seeing them, no? In television, comics, and all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And if you want to make it more concrete, you can do it like, for example, it's the area, it's
where we can find it in the plane.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
So the animal has a surname and a first name. The first name is very long and the surname is even more complicated.
No, it isn't.
Okay. Yeah, for me.
So if you hear, come on.
Yeah.
Here, there are the axes, the imaginary axes, and there's the real axes.
Yeah.
And here, this area, you can describe it with this.
With this part?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's a little bit complicated. You could do it easier as well. But that's the easiest thing, because you just can measure this point and go to this point and you know it. So it's very easy to do. You could also do it.
But you know what I would be interested in, for example, you could do it in 3D. You could try to do it in 3D. I tried also some forms to find in.
Well, can I use your parallel, please?
Yeah.
Just put on everything that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for example, there are some forms I could imagine. They are like three-dimensional if you look at polynomial degree. What are they, you think?
I'm sorry?
What are they? What is this?
I don't know. They can be big sculptures. They can be, I don't know. I showed you something. I thought it could be furniture for young children, people. This could be a slide. But they're just models, yes? And they're just... I'm sorry. Sorry. So it could be just a part. So this could be, for example, a slide. But I mean, it could be also a big object only. It depends on how you make the proportions, or how you imagine the proportions.
Mm-hmm. How did you design them?
Well, I was playing around, you know, like children play, and I was just trying.
But you were inspired by the forms you found in the polynomial.
In the polynomial tree, all of them are actually polynomial graphical things.
And also, you try to translate them into three dimensions.
Yes, I tried to translate them into three dimensions.
So you were not seeing plants and animals like I did, because I come from a sphere of biology. So you are as a furniture designer, see more furniture and inspiration for furnishing these pictures.
Yes, I would, or maybe they can be also big objects, as I said. I think it's still everything can be possible how to use them. I mean, I made some renderings, so you can imagine how they could look like.
Yeah,
there are still more. Yeah, I can show them. Actually, I used all the formulas you had.
Ah, that's an interesting thing as well. No, we haven't told the audience yet that we have just been working on three formulas.
On our formulas, we produced through our.
Oh.
It's going to be a real landscape now.
Yes. So it's actually all taken out of polynomial graphical inspiration. I will show you. For example, I did this. This red one, this red and orange one, is one of your colleagues. Make it it's here. That's also my hand. This? Can you imagine?
Yes. Oh, I see.
Which one is that? I can't see it.
It is this.
Uh-huh. No doubt. The other.
It's the this
the
one.
Light.
This one. Or you can use.
But it's turned. What you show.
It turned. Yeah, because it is more comfortable.
You twisted it. Okay.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. You could use it. And this, for example, I think I actually found in the polynomiography of water, but I also can see it in your polling. Yeah?
But it would be a pretty nice sofa, the glittering.
I know you like that.
Yeah, like that.
It's from this. It's actually, it's made from your polynomiography.
Okay.
But you also do the 3D work more. Water, don't you?
Yeah, I try to get in three dimensional and real, like from my paintings, to get some soft sets out of it. To playing around with. That's the roof poly, because it's from roof polynomiography. And from my one, because as a milliner, I like to work with feathers.
That's cool.
Am I one of those?
Can you close the camera? So, whoa, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
What do you think about
that? It reminds me of the carnival, or you can. I would use it, for example, the carnival, but it's like, you know, like
a bracelet. It's a carnival for me.
Yeah, but for me, it's a carnival object, whatever you use it. I mean, you can try to use it on your hand, or I don't know.
You
can try it.
Like a bracelet?
Yeah, as a bracelet. Why not? I mean, you can use it as a bracelet, or you can use it here, maybe. It would also look kind of...
Like this?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, so then try to put it on your hands. Like, you know, it's possible to fix it with your hair.
So, you would do that with my head?
Yeah, could be. Okay. Yeah, you look like an insect.
I don't want to look like an insect.
And the third one, that for me, I found that in one of the polynomiographies, a little bit more simple. So the calm one, it's, for me, it's more like a dove.
Oh, no.
The polynomial breath of a dove.
It's really suffering. I know how you could use it. You could use it, you know, when people go out, they always need to have something in their hand. So, for example, in Europe, they still used to have the cigarettes in their hand all the time. So, I mean, it might be interesting if they wear something like that.
Yeah.
And yes, and you have something always to touch and put something.
Instead of a handbag.
Instead of a handbag
or
a cigarette.
Or a chihuahua with them, they can use that. It would be pretty interesting if you're going around the homeless on one of those chic opening nights of any theater play or
vernissage. Yeah.
And people are talking, asking you, hey, what are you carrying along with you?
Yeah, another time that's a pulley. It's called a pulley.
What's a pulley?
It's a polynomial animal. And actually, it comes from a polynomiography.
What is a polynomiography?
A dance soap.
That's how I discussion about art is art and math is art. That would be a good idea to use these animals like business cards instead of it. When you want to talk about your business, you carry along one of those animals, and then you ask you, what are you carrying along? It's not the pants, and then it's not the pants, it's like, holy.
Could be great for promotion for Kandahar Sports, huh?
Yeah, probably. So it would be good to have this ones in a smaller size to get a better imagination of how a polynomiographical world would look like in 3D.
They are called cripples.
And take one card if you want.
Said was absolutely correct, but it's not that helpful. Because really all these complex numbers, the solutions to this equation, z squared equals minus 1, can be given by this 2x2 matrix. And all of the complex numbers that believe. So So all the complex numbers are really very real entities. So what you're talking about with all the polynomial nomenclatures, right, are 2x2 matrices of this special form. So they're real. They're not imaginary. They're not imaginary from the Renaissance or someplace. But they're 2x2 matrices, which you can add, subtract, multiply, and most of the time divide. Anyway, that was my comment.
Thank you.
But I thought the interaction, the way you were doing your performance between the left brain, right brain, was really effective.
Yeah, it was something that's was the most important part for me in working with math and design, that math is for me such a logical, it is a logical and rational field of studies. Whereas art could is that as well in part, but it allows also a kind of impulsive emotional working. And the combination of these two parts, this ambivalent spectrum, to work between that, that's really interesting for me. And I think that for education, knowledge or sciences like math should become more emotionalized to internalize the knowledge you get. That's not only for math, but also for biology and whatever it is. Not just pushing the pupils in what they have to know, but emotionalize what they have to know.
And actually, you could go on in biology, you could go in geography, you could go in history, you could go in language. So it opens up. Actually, it happened. It's not just something planned, but you could plan it. And if you have an interdisciplinary workshop, and you could even go on with people here.
Yeah. Yes.
The question I have is about the most hidden picture over there. Has two pictures on top. So it's right at the picture, actual picture on the table, at the lily. There is well hidden picture underneath all those, and there is one picture on top.
No.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah.
That one is on top, and you remove next one, and so the picture I'm interested in is, as I said, the most hidden. So it's the next one.
So it's kind of the landscape.
Okay, yeah. And it reminds me of a lot of things, like, I don't know, like a fair, a festival, or in a village or something. But I kind of miss the discussion of that, like where it came from. And too many people that can represent many things. But so if you could briefly repeat what was said about the picture.
I just was imagining how a landscape, a polynomiographic landscape might look like. So not just seeing an animal in it and turning, but if it's not that picture, but like for me, that becomes kind of an ocean, and that's the landscape. And you, from the bird perspective, the rabbit, and I try to imagine what would happen if I'm a boat on the sea. And that's the landscape I saw here. Like I'm a boat on the sea, and that's the landscape with the mountains and the trees. But I cannot define what these dots are. So it's for me trees like plants, and these round shapes and something like that. They are the mountains, like a topographical map.
Yeah, it came out from our talks and thinking about the map and conceptual landscapes, and then thinking about where we find it.
Thank you.
So I wanted to follow up with something that you were asking. Among scientists, you will find us often discussing the creative process. And I think that people who initially go into arts go there because they don't think that there's a lot of technical work. And I actually find that an artist is involved in much more technical and detailed thinking and processing than even a scientist is. One has to hone one's craft, one has to have the hand-eye coordination that Helen was speaking about. One has to have these technical skills with a brush or with the software and so forth. On the other hand, when we're solving math problems, we're thinking quite creatively. Often the creative process is done through a very routine calculation. We'll do the calculation over and over and over again, and then have the creative insight into solving the problem. So those things are known to scientists, that it is a creative process.
But isn't solving a formula or something like that also kind of technique, like using
yes.
a brush?
Yes, it is. But it's both. It's not that the scientist doesn't know that there's creativity.
No, we know
we
that.
Do.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was not that we wanted to pose the question or to say that scientists are not creative. As I'm, for example, I'm between both. Yes,
right.
I'm as an artist and also as a scientist. And so I think the main subject, the most interesting subject, is that we both, scientists and artists, and scientists and artists, they're all the time solution findings, and this is very
right,
exceptional.
Exactly.
And I think if different disciplines meet, and we had a discussion another day at a science center, Netscape in Vienna, and then we tried,
network,
thank you, and we tried to explain to people how we work, because it was so strange for them to say, okay, let's start, and let's try to find solutions. And then there were a moment where there was a stuck state of situation, and then of coincidence, I had the cards, and I said, this is how we work. And this is actually mathematics, but this is the same as we work in these situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I remember back in my own childhood, so I looked at the clouds and twins, and I saw dragons, and I saw Viking boats, ships, and so on. Isn't this a further development of what usual children see in nature? And
yes. I think so. I think they lose it when they get old. We lose it when we get old. And I think it's a very big chance to find out the roots. Actually, it's a root finding. It's a root finding to your childhood.
It's the root finding.
Yeah, it's a root finding to your childhood, and find out what reminds you. It gives you a very pleasure feeling. And it brings you on, and you continue. And we've been working well, because it's not too much time. It's like 3.5 months or something. But we had a very, very nice atmosphere in remembering things and developing things and trying to find out what potential is in this program. And this is what we found. And this is just 3.5 months and just 3 functions. So as we said, I mean, we could really find, I think, for the youth or whoever, it would be very interesting to continue.
Most of our childhood seems to have to do with creating physio-neurological pathways or developments. And so this is a new kind of physio-neurological experience. Now, I'm reminded of something that Leonardo da Vinci said in his diaries. If you're in a slump as an artist, then go find a really old, decaying, moldy wall and just look at it, right? Mm-hmm. Just experience it, and as you were saying, see things there. So I would say what you've got here is a great way to get out of a slump.
Yeah, but I think an additional aspect to this than just seeing forms in clouds or on a very old wall is that by seeing things in polynomiographical work is that they are close to math. So when people start to talk about this one or a flower, you can see kind of address it or have what it has or whatever. But you also can talk about this in a mathematical way. So people get an imagination of where math could, that math is everywhere to find. Am I right?
Yeah. There's another aspect. You were saying, well, you're getting all these in free form.
Yeah.
So look at the communication potential, because you can send someone a polynomial, which is just a little thing.
Yes.
And yet it's sort of like the nucleus of the cell. And if you're imaginative, as you all obviously are, you can just unfold it.
Yes.
Yes, I wanted to say that, I explain this in my book, that when we speak about fractals, and there are some fractal folks here in this room, they are just too broad. So when we think about polynomials or few equations, you go to the roots, as you say, you go to the foundation, and it's the kind of a thing you can get across easily. And I want to make a comment about your presentation, that today I have learned a whole new way of, how to get ideas across, because I'm normally used to just making a presentation, slides, and I just, I just change the slides. I'm a boring speaker myself, and everything is boring after. But yours is really very interesting. I mean, I was constantly just engaged in your work. And you're all fantastic actors and actresses too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I just had one question. First of all, this was fantastic, with exclamation mark. But can any one of you tell me what a splitting field is, or what an extension field is?
Maybe yes, maybe we can do that later.
But I mean, you know the answer to that question?
Well, in German I do. But
okay. I can help.
No, I know the answer. I know, I'm like a good lawyer. I know the answer. I'm just wondering, How close do you actually get to the mat, with your students? After you get them enthused and excited, and they say, oh wow, this is math, but do you actually get them to the mat? And certainly understanding how the square root of minus one is not, there's nothing imaginary about that, is a start. But, I'm wondering, do you get them to concepts like splitting field and rings of polynomials and the real math, which quite often, the only reason I ask is because it's taken me a lifetime to realize that that's what I wanted from my teachers when I was 8 years old and 5 years old. And I was fascinated by math, and I spent my whole life running from it because I couldn't find a single adult that said, trust your love of this stuff. So I became a musician because I never met a musician who couldn't tell me his love of music. And it's so close to math, I realize now my love of music is a misplaced love of mathematics. And unfortunately, I don't have a mind of 20.
I always think the other way around.
Well, I'm speaking later this week about how what you're doing, what Bauman is doing, what I'm trying to do is so important, of bringing these two worlds together. But I want to ask, how authentically are you getting students into the math?
I'm not mathematical engaged. I mean, my own story with mathematics was that I had an examination before my baccalaureate, and nobody ever explained to me why I should use mathematics. This was my history. And I was simply bored with just numbers, and I didn't understand why I should learn it. And then I had 1 hour with one guy, and he explained me how I could use functions. And that I could use functions or integral to find out the way on my favorite disc. I love to hear music in that age of 18. And he just told me how I can calculate the way the needle is going around, And it was like this, and I had best grades at the baccalaureate, and the other ones, I usually try to hide the things I could give them. And so for me it was such a pity that a lot of people lose their passion for mathematics, and it's kind of a reintroducting mathematics into our lives. And we started, I heard a speech of a mathematical professor a few years ago, and he was so engaged, and I said, wow, he's talking even without pictures. And I said, like this, I would like to have mathematics lessons in my school time. And then I said, why don't we make a project together and invite the Technical University to work with us as Angewandte and make a project together. And that was at the University of Applied Arts. And then what we did is we brought together the professor of Technical University, a professional mathematician who works at the Institute of Discrete Mathematics and Geometry in Indiana. His name is Reinhard Winke, who also works with Kaschner, and they have the mass space at there, where we met Bachmann. And also and James Cohn, we worked in three and tried to put the students together and always ask them back if they understood the mathematical problems. And so it was kind of experts. The experts would show, okay, what kind of solutions do you get? And then they would talk with them about the solutions and where they get. So, I mean, that was my impression, but we even evaluated through people that they watched us from different departments.
As my personal experience in that, because I have been in that project, as I told you before, and my personal experience I got was, I was talking to students and they were telling me about several kinds of infinities, which I never heard before, and I was really impressed and I wanted to know more about it, so they have to explain it. So, because the problem in school is that pupils aren't asking to want to know something, they're just getting the knowledge. So what this could be is that you can provoke questions that they want to know how it's done. And that's the main point of teaching, in my opinion. And for myself, I really wanted to know more about, they were telling me about the Boradoxon Fanach-Darsky, and you can do that. You know that where they can divide one thing and
make it
into two, and I was quite surprised. And is that real? And is it really possible? And one of the students from the Technical University answered, "You're not so much concerned about reality in math." And I said, "Well, as an artist, I'm really not." I'm not concerned about reality myself, so that's so close to it, to the math and art is so close to another. So one of the main, that was one thing I realized, that math and art are so close to another. So I, as an artist, who was always thinking that I have nothing to do with math, but it blew, okay, there's math everywhere. And it's a new way of creating things. And I'm even thinking about making dresses or peasants out of it. And people will ask how I have produced them, and I can tell them if I wanted polynomiography and start a discussion about math and arts. And so if a pupil is not like you, who has been interested in art,
in
math, sorry, you can give pupils who are not interested in math a clue what can be in math for them, personally.
Or passion. Get a passion, because people get fascinated, like we did. Or for me, this was very important to have this experience. I think for some students it was very important to get this experience, how designers work and how artists work. Strange, and the first time you have different languages and you have a lot of philosophical discussions. And then we had to kick out the students actually at 7 o'clock at night, because they wouldn't stop working and we needed the rooms. So I think it made a lot with them, and we tried to check it out with experts, always experts together, so because I will not be able to explain things, or even not, also not James will be able to explain everything in detail as a mathematician would do it. But if you work together with mathematicians who have very good communication line to explain, I think it really works, I suppose.
Well, I thought what was very strong were all the hooks you had. Like you were saying, this looks like a cartoon character, this looks like a landscape, this looks like, you know, all those hooks are just fabulous. Because you're going to hook somebody, with one of those things, you know.
They could continue.
Yeah.
It's completely democratic. We're not saying we are the great artists and nobody can. No, nothing. You can come here and do it. Easily. Yes, I mean, we showed this, we explained this idea. There is a design forum at the Museumsport in Vienna, and we explained them how you could use this and how you could make it with hands-on and do it with children and youth. And they were so fascinated that they said, okay, sit there with Bachmann and make a plan, and next year you can decide a date, because we're still now open, and we're going to plan that, and we want to do that with young people. We want to show them, this is actually our job, we are art and design educators, and we want to show them, and we want to get them passionate and as an interdisciplinary team, because all of us come from different disciplines. Yeah.
Very interesting.